For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Gift of Faith, as we pick up in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
God has done a wonderful thing for us. He's brought us salvation and eternal life, and He doesn't want us boasting in what we have done. In fact, He doesn't want any flesh to glory in His sight. So, even the faith by which we are saved, God gives to us as a gift. So I can't even boast about my believing the truth of God. Well, the truth came to me, and I examined the truth, and I decided I'm going to believe it. Nope. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, God knows the tendency of our old nature to want to receive glory. That's a part of that sinful nature. That's the thing that tripped up Satan. I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I'm going to sit in the congregation in the sides of the north. I'm going to ascend into the heights. I will be like the Most High. I want people to recognize and worship and glory in me. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, who didst exalt thyself, looking for glory? God knows that that's a part of our nature. And therefore, He placed salvation outside of our capacity, outside of our ability. He made our salvation on the basis of His grace, His work through Jesus Christ, and my believing that work, and then He gave me the faith to believe it. He drew me unto Himself, placed the faith in my heart to believe His truth, and granted unto me through His grace this glorious gift of eternal life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, that faith by which you were saved. And it is not of works, your salvation, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. The Greek word translated workmanship is poema, from which we get our English word poem. You are His work. You are His poem. A poem is a thing of grace, a thing of beauty. God wants your life to be a thing of grace and a thing of beauty. And as God works in your life, it will become a thing of grace and a thing of beauty. You are His poem. The poet seeks to express himself in beautiful terms. He seeks to express beauty in attractive terms. God is seeking to express Himself. And your life becomes that expression as God works in you. You are His work. As God works in your life, conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ, you then become the revelation of God to the world around you. The expression of God. Now, Jesus, it says, was the express image of His glory. He said one day to His disciples, "If you have seen the Father, you have seen me." Or if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, rather. Philip said, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believest thou then that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake? So, God wants you to be the expression of himself to this world. And that is the purpose of God's work in your life, to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, as we get to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul will tell us that God has appointed in the church pastor, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, and not in that order. He put pastor, teachers last, but I like to reverse the order since then I'm a pastor, teacher. But their purpose was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all came into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the complete or fully matured man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the image of Christ. You see, this is God's work in you. Conform you into the image of Christ. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, and we all with open face as we behold the glory of the Lord are being changed from glory to glory, even into that same image. God expressing himself through you. As God knocks off the rough edges, and as God smooths out those rough spots, his whole purpose of his work in my life is to conform me into the image of Christ, that he might reveal himself through me to the world. His love through me, his grace through me, his kindness through me. Now, a lot of times as God is doing his work in me and he begins to chip off some of those clumsy edges, I begin to scream. I don't always like that work of God. But it is important that I submit to that work of God. I don't always understand it. Lord, why did you chip that one off? I thought that looked pretty good, you know. And I don't always understand why certain hard places have come into my life. But God is working. It's important that I know this. Because as I know this, then I can yield to these things. I don't fight them. I say, well, Lord, my life is yours. If any man suffers according to the will of God, let him commit the keeping of his soul unto him as a wise creator. God, my life is in your hands. You do what you know best and what you see best. Lord, I accept these things that are coming my way. You work, Lord, your work in me, that you might reveal yourself through me. You are his poema, created together in Christ Jesus unto the good works that God has before ordained that you should walk in them. God has already determined, foreordained, that work that you're to accomplish for his glory. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You remember when Mordecai sent the message into Esther after she had said, hey, I can't just go in and see my husband anytime I want. You know, we've got laws here in Persia, and unless he calls me, I really can't go in to see him. And if I would presume to go in and see him, if he doesn't hold the golden scepter, they'll take my head off. And her cousin Mordecai sent back a message and said, how do you know but what God hasn't brought you into the kingdom for such a time as this? The whole background. The beauty contest where she was chosen to be the new queen. The deposing of the old queen Vashti. And this, all of these circumstances. How do you know that God isn't working and hasn't been working all the way through up to this point to prepare you for this precise moment in history to bring deliverance for God's people? Now, don't think within yourself, he said, that if this edict goes through that you're going to escape. Or that the edict can actually go through, for deliverance will arise from another quarter. God is going to do his work. But you will be the loser if God has chosen to use you to do that work and you fail. So God has been preparing you. How do you know? But this isn't what God has been preparing you for. And as God works in our life, we can know that God has a purpose and a plan. He doesn't just work happenstance in us. It isn't just some kind of a capricious act of God that I've been through these severe testings or trials. It's a part of God's plan in preparing me to do the work that God has already decided that I should do for the glory of his kingdom. So I can look back in my life and I can see how God was preparing me and working in me to prepare me for this place that I am today. And I can go back all the way back, actually, to my birth and even before my birth to see how God had his hand upon my life even in the prenatal state, as he was preparing me for the work that he wanted me to accomplish for his glory someday. And I can see that preparation in my early childhood as God gave me such a godly mother who, before I was born, when my sister, for all practical purposes, had died, made a covenant with God and said, God, if you'll just spare my little daughter's life, if you'll give me my little girl back to me, I will serve you and minister for you the rest of my life. And how God miraculously healed my sister instantly, brought her back to life. She started breathing again. And 2 months later, when I was born, my mother said, Father, I will fulfill my vow to you through my son. I'll dedicate him to serve you. And thus, from my earliest memories, my mother was teaching me to memorize the scriptures. Following me around at my place, she let me be a normal boy, play ball and everything else. But as I was a child, she'd follow me around, having me recite scriptures. Bedtime, I never heard of Goldilocks or Red Riding Hood until I grew up. But I knew all about David and Moses and Joshua and Paul. These were my bedtime stories. David, God was preparing our early years of ministry. Those times of great frustration, those times of failure, those times of hardship, those times of learning to trust God for the evening meal, when we would be absolutely, well, no, that's an overstatement, when we would be almost broke, because one night when we came right down to it, we were almost broke. We went through Kay's purses and my pants pockets and our dresser drawers, and we did find 37 cents. And we headed out to the store with 37 cents to buy our evening meal. Challenged by how nutritious a meal that we could purchase for 37 cents, how balanced and nutritious. It was a real challenge, and we made it. We had a bunch of carrots and a can of pork and beans. And when we laid them on the counter, the guy totaled them up. He said, 37 cents. Had it figured out. Laid the cash on the counter, and we started out the door, and he called us back. And he said, you know, I'm sorry. I've been intending for a long time to do something for your kids, and here, I want you to take this. And he reached under the counter and gave us a $10 grocery certificate. I told Kay, let's go over to the meat counter. And I said to Kate, pick out two of the best T-bones. God's treating tonight. We're going to eat steak. God was in it. God was preparing us. Preparing us to trust Him for the evening meal. Preparing us to just believe in Him and to know that He would supply the needs. Teaching us to be careful and frugal with His funds. Teaching us to be wise and careful as we spent His funds. All of it was important and necessary preparation, for God had in mind the whole while the ministry that we're experiencing today. I didn't have any idea what God had in mind. I had ambitions. Hopefully one day I'd have a church of 250 people. That was my great ambition in life. I was tired of little churches of under 100 because they could never support the needs of the family. And so I worked as Paul, laboring with my own hands so that we would not be chargeable to the churches. When we first began Calvary Chapel, we worked, laboring with our own hands. And I was prepared to continue to work. But God had other things in mind, far and above anything we'd ever dreamed. The work that God has in mind for you to do for Him. Now, I do believe that we can check out of God's program if we desire. I think that we can say, okay, Lord, that's it. I've had it. I don't want to go through this anymore. I'm going to take another path. And I think that we can actually miss out on that plan of God that He has ordained for our future. Not that we were going to miss salvation. Don't misunderstand me now. That's not the issue at all. The issue is God's perfect plan for your life, the work that God has before ordained that you should accomplish for His glory. I think you can miss that if you rebel against the work that God is seeking to do in your life today to prepare you for that work. Now, I do believe that God does prepare the instrument before He uses the instrument. It is the days of preparation that we often despise, though the Bible tells us, do not despise the days of preparation. The days of the small things. Lord, I want to get on to the big thing, the big work you've got. No, no. It's necessary that God first work in me before God can work through me. That is why we are told in the Scriptures to count it all joy when we go through some real hard testings. That's why we're told to rejoice in tribulation. For God is working in you because God wants to work through you. He's got a plan for you, a work that He wants you to accomplish. Now, I don't think that I've arrived. I think that God has yet a greater work in mind for me to accomplish for His glory. And it is exciting to me each day to see the new opportunities that God brings into our path in the expanding of the ministry as we seek to do His work. And so God still prepares me. I haven't arrived by a long shot, but I'm on the way. And one day when I do arrive, I'll look around and I'll see Paul and John and I'll be in glory, you know, when I have apprehended that for which I've been apprehended. Paul was very conscious of the fact that when the Lord called him, God had a plan in mind. And he said, I have not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended. Still on the road. There's still something to be done. God still has a purpose and a work for me yet to fulfill. And when I have completed, when I have apprehended that for which I was apprehended. Do you think God's going to leave me in this sin-cursed world any longer? Oh, He loves me too much. He's going to take me to be with Him in the eternal glories of His kingdom. Wherefore, remember that you, in time past, as a Gentile in the flesh, were called the uncircumcision by those which are called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So, remember, as a Gentile, you were totally excluded by the Jews. Excluded to salvation. That at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You had no hope, and you were without God in the world. Now, he's going back again. You, before the coming of Jesus Christ into your life, a real separation, a real wall between you and God, you and the people of God. You were without Christ. You were an alien from the covenants and strangers from the covenants of promise, and you had no hope, for you were without God in the world. That is one of the saddest, most tragic pictures of mankind. No hope without God in the world. Without Christ, without hope, without God. It's a tragic thing to try to exist in a hopeless state. One of the greatest things the Bible does for us, it gives us hope. Even in a world that is deteriorating around us, there is hope. In fact, the more the world deteriorates, the greater the hope becomes. Do you know what is the latest conclusion of the most brilliant economist in the world? Do you know what they declare to be the only hope for the world at this point? They are now declaring that the only hope for the world is a unified monetary system.
One of the most important ways to reflect God as a woman is to share His great love with those around you. But what does that really mean? In her encouraging book, Reflecting God, Kay Smith shares biblical insights and personal stories to show how you can care for, nurture, and intercede for those entrusted to you. This book will help you become a light that points others to God in a world that desperately needs His love. Reflecting God is a wonderful resource for personal study or to share with a small group of women growing in faith together. Discover how the woman who reflects God knows she is loved and in turn loves others. She belongs to Jesus and draws others to Him, and she shines God's light in a dark world. Order your copy of Reflecting God today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Reflecting God, becoming the light of His love to a world that needs Him. Now here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and watch over you this week. May His hand be upon your life to strengthen you, to guide you. May He use you as His instrument to do His work. May God fill you with love and with understanding, compassion, the Spirit. May you walk in the Spirit and be led of the Spirit of God this week. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ephesians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Ephesians 2. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.